good to see everyone that can make it back here this evening. For a short time this evening, we'll be talking about something that once again coincides with our theme for this this month. Been given the topic of, as our hearts are right with God, we will be able to speak with pure speech. If you can think back, when you were growing up as a young child, all the coined phrases that we are well aware of that we might have heard every other day or every day or maybe more than once a day, like clean up your room or don't talk back or don't hit your brother or don't hit your sister. These are all phrases that we are very familiar with that, like I said, we probably heard a few times throughout our young lives. Well, another phrase that I'm sure we've all heard at least some point is watch your mouth. And so even at a very young age, maybe not so much in the world today, but our parents put forth an effort to let us know that what we say is important, or that you know, there are consequences to some of the things we say, or there are benefits to some of the things we say. In the Bible, some of the examples we have, I know James and Matthew both recognize the importance of our words and the need to control our tongues. In Exodus chapter 20, we know that using the Lord's name in vain and profanity displeases the Lord, as noted in the Ten Commandments. Exodus 20, verse 7, the Bible reads, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." So when it says the Lord will not hold him guiltless, well, obviously that means we will be with guilt if we are to take his name in vain. So that in and of itself explains that there is an importance in what we say, and we should be cautious. We live in a time today where cursing and cussing has probably been in society since society was around. But it seems, you know, the older we get, it seems to abound more these days with the lack of parenting. And as I said before, our parents made an effort to teach us the importance in what we say and to be careful what we say and to watch our mouths. It doesn't seem to be quite the case anymore, seems like. But swearing is a lazy way of trying to be emphatic. Or I don't know if you've ever had a conversation with somebody that maybe they get a little passionate or whatnot in what they're saying, and they're trying to drive home their point, or they're trying to put emphasis in what they're saying by using choice words or choice language. Vulgar language is not appropriate in any situation, regardless of the situation at hand, the scenario, or whatever we're dealing with. Expressing ourselves in that matter proves absolutely nothing except that we're a fool who has little grasp of the human language. I can tell you that over the just a few years I've been around, not even including the English language, the English language has been dumbed down to the point to where it's getting pretty ridiculous. And you can tell about somebody's intelligence or their knowledge of the English language by some of the choice words that they use in replacement of others. Speaking inappropriately also involves half-truths, which, as we all know, wind up being 100% lies. Gossiping, bragging, talking without thinking first. We are expected to speak the truth in love, but it can be challenging though. We may have a tendency to hide our feelings, to pretend that nothing's wrong, while you silently brood over perceived or actual offenses. Whether those offenses, whether we've been wrong legitimately, or whether maybe our perception is that we've been wrong, when in fact it may not be the case. then maybe when we finally hit that last straw, we explode like a grenade. The other extreme is maybe to tell the truth, but maybe not do it for the right reasons, or maybe not to do it with love. There may be even tidbits of accuracy with the things that we say. And maybe what we say is completely 100% true. But if the truth is hurled like a weapon, if the truth is used to harm rather than to encourage, neither of these extremes will bring individuals closer together. Neither of these will bring us closer to God. If we tend to speak without love, if we tend to gossip, to use profanity, to exaggerate, even to lie, or maybe to move our lips first before choosing our words carefully, we need to try and consider the following. Maybe listen to a few of these suggestions. Number one, maybe the most prevalent and most relevant to our society today, is we need to think before we speak. Just because we think of something doesn't always mean we have to say it. Psalms 141, verse 3 reads, "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips." James chapter 1, verse 19 reads, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." And continuing on in James 1, in verse 26, the Bible reads, "If anyone among you think he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless." Another suggestion we can consider is we need to consider taking wrong and inaccurate thoughts captive before God. Maybe instead of blurting them out to others, we should confess them to God, and maybe it'll help them or help us get them out of our systems and give time to remind us of the truth. As a matter of fact, in Colossians chapter 3, reading verses 8 through 9, the Bible reads, "But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds." Proverbs chapter 21, verse 23, the Bible reads, "Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles." Also, a suggestion we might want to heed is maybe to replace these thoughts with new ones which more accurately represent the situation. There's a phrase saying that someone's first reaction is usually the right one, or something to that effect. Well, this is a perfect example of how society's ways, man's ways, are not God's ways. Many times, it's best to think twice before we do anything. Proverbs 12, verse 17 through 19 reads, "He who speaks truth declares righteousness, but a false witness, deceit. There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. The truthful lip shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment." Also in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, the Bible tells us, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." Lastly, we need to choose to speak edifying, pleasant words that are immersed in love. Ephesians 4, verse 29 says, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." Also in Colossians 4 and 6, "Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. So it tells us that anything we say It should be for edification in some way, shape, form, or fashion. That it may impart grace to the hearers. How often, whenever we say something, do we really take in consideration who exactly is within a ear to hear it? How many of us actually try and consider the impact we give whenever we say something? Maybe not to an individual directly, but within a distance to where they can hear us. The Bible tells us that even a fool may be thought of as wise when his mouth is kept shut. Proverbs 17 verse 28 reads, "Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lips, he is considered perceptive." Silence can keep us from embarrassing ourselves. As in like fashion with all my many other lessons, this is probably part where I kind of tell on myself. There were only a few times where we had kept quiet instead of trying to let everybody know just how much we know. They might have thought we knew more than we really did. People may believe we're smarter than we really are. There's another well-known saying adopted by many cultures, and a few of the wordings may change from time to time or from land to land, but it goes something like this. It is better to be thought a fool and remain silent than to speak and remove all doubt. Now, I know a few of you have somebody in mind right now that you're thinking that would probably pertain to you right now, and it would be really nice if they take this advice. There's a lot of people out there that think that there's something, think that they know a few things, and they want everybody to know just how much they know. But in turn, lets everybody know just how much they don't. Moving on, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." I want to take this time, as Dwayne mentioned earlier this morning, we have things going on in our world today that if everybody just focused on having their hearts right with God and focused on trying to treat others as we would like to be treated, so many of these things, all these tragedies, wouldn't even be an issue. But this particular one, in a way, does pertain to this specific idea of speaking with pure speech. We understand the consequences of not. We understand the consequences of profanity. We understand the consequences of taking the Lord's name in vain. But we understand the consequences and the effects we can have by not thinking before we speak, or by not having a full understanding of what we say before we say it. Back when the newspaper first was established and it was a resource for people to get information that at one point they might not have the ability to, they knew that what they read was nothing but facts. And through those facts, they were able to derive at their own conclusion, and they were able to obtain their own opinion of said facts. We live in a time today where you can get information that happened a few seconds across the world immediately. With the media, and the social media, and the Facebook, and the news, and all the broadcast stations that are out there, at any point you can get the latest and greatest of what's going on today. The only problem is that they are no longer just facts. No, instead, the social media will actually derive at their own conclusions before they have all these facts, not only will they not let you come to your own conclusion or your own opinion, but they will actually force their opinion upon you and say, this is how you're supposed to feel about this particular subject. Now, what happened in Baton Rouge and what happened in Dallas and so on and so forth, a lot of it started because people were given wrong information. And by that information, they had an opinion projected upon them that they were felt forced to feel or to believe. And because of that, these people reacted to it. Their reaction was hate. And out of that hate came violence. And out of that violence came tragedy. All because people were given the wrong information. And they were influenced and had an opinion projected upon them instead of just giving the facts and letting us use our own ability to deduce the facts and come to our own conclusions and opinions. It's important that what we say is the truth. And if we're not sure it's the truth, we need to keep quiet until we know it is. James chapter 3 verses 1 through 12 talks about the untamable tongue. The Bible reads, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things." See how great a force a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men, who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. So what does this mean to us? Matthew 12, verse 36 through 37 reads, "But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." So if a grapevine can't bear figs, and fig trees can't bear olives, and you can't receive both salt water and fresh water out of a spring, what does that say about us in regards to what we say? To be pure in speech means that we have to be pure in heart. Matthew 51, verse 18 explains why. It says, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man." So if we have a pure heart, there's no way these profanities, these cursings, these lies, these gossips, can proceed out of our mouth. So, if we have our hearts right with God, one of the effects is we'll be able to speak with pure speech. Later on in this month, we will hear a lesson about other effects of having our hearts right with God. And more specifically, we're going to hear a lesson later on about how we can get our hearts right with God. We know through the Scriptures that our hearts are the core to having all these other attributes. That everything we say, everything we do, comes from what we hold in our hearts. So to be a pure speech means our hearts must be pure as well. And if our heart is pure, our heart can be right with God. At this time, we want to offer an invitation to any of those who are subject to the gospel call, or if you wish to receive the prayers of the church. Whatever the case may be, we would ask that you would come as we stand and sing the song of invitation.